Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our regular Monday stream.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
We're
we're back.
back.
We're back. We're back talking about the police as well, which seems to be one of the things that we've talked about the most on this channel, actually, is UK policing and related bills. We have quite the history there.
Well, at the end of the day, if you're going to talk about things in relation to politics, you're either going to talk about law or the implementation of law. And policing
Yes.
is the sort of perfect intermediary between the two.
Yes, we're so back. But it's application, it's the sharp end, and it's one of the areas where we can talk about revealed regime preference and all kinds of stuff. It's very, very revealing that we're how policing is done, how it's set out, how it's portrayed, and also the organizational structure of the UK police. We'll get into a bit here. But as always, thank you guys for tuning in.
Yes.
We are still monetized somehow.
So please do consider being a member of the YouTube channel or supporting us on Substack or through the super chats or the super stickers or PayPal is for the intermediary period while we get some kind of entropy thing going on. And yes, thank you to those who show up because it is you being here and watching the streams that gives us any sort of reason to really do them outside of our own vanity. So that's very nice.
Yes, it is. It does give us a reason to be here, and like you said, Evelyn, the current kind of Google tax-free way of donating is just via PayPal. But we'll sort something else out so we can get your comments and stream a bit better. It's just been a bit of a strain to find
Yes, and we'll
time.
probably mention it again towards the end, but we are, of course, on the run up to our fourth Nomos event, Nomos Manchester 2, Nomos ex Mises. See, now
Yes.
it just sounds like I'm saying gibberish, but these words mean something.
They do, yes. Well,
The first speaker interview for that will be up on Wednesday instead of a
yeah.
stream, as you'll be
I'll be away for
busy.
work,
Yeah,
so
you'll be
yes.
busy this week. I'm not sure if we'll have anything up on the Substack as well, maybe on Thursday. We'll get to that. If there's something there's something to go up. If there isn't, there
Well,
isn't.
we'll work that out. It might be a slightly leaner week this week. We always make sure to do our Monday streams. So, as people filter in, this is going to be kind of a, some of you who are a bit older in the UK may remember the Stephen Lawrence report that we mentioned a couple of times during our stream with Semyorgov. In fact, this will act as something of a proper codified layout of some of the
Well,
things that were
yeah, I
mentioned
think
in that
that
stream.
there is definitely a theming we want to focus here on each of the different items we've got and as we're going through them. And I think we could sort of roughly say that that thread is something along the lines of, do not let appearances demonstrate to you how powerful or effective UK policing may or may not be. Because as we covered on that stream last week,
Yeah.
There was this report that was supposed to come out about the Special Demonstration Squad, which is this sort of extra legal unit that was operated supposedly by Metropolitan Police, but really it was direct orders from the Home
Yes, it
Office.
was directed by the Home Office.
And from that, there was supposed to be a report at some point during was that the early 2000s
Yes.
about, the Special Demonstration Squad, what it got up to. And just funnily enough, at the same time, another report came out about the Stephen Lawrence thing, which talked about how the police were all racist and there was no mention of, or very little mention of, the Special Demonstration Squad. And the report for that specifically got basically pushed away. Now, we mentioned this briefly on the stream with Semyogog from the other week. And then what
Yes.
happens a day later when I mentioned the fact that, there was meant to be a report from 20, or from this year, another one on the Special Demonstration Squad, implemented by Theresa May's government. And the day after we do our stream, oh, this new Baroness Casey report comes out with 120 odd pages about how racist the police are. So, wow, what are the odds?
The Casey report had been somewhat telegraphed beforehand. That's part of the reason I wanted to do the stream. And talk somewhat about the Special Demonstration Squad. But it is basically a report, a repeat of the McPherson report, which was the Stephen Lawrence report. Thank you there to John Morton for
Oh no,
the.
I've just noticed in the title you've got the official seat of the police.
I have, yes, but I can edit that. That can be edited. I.
Sorry, non-live viewers will not be able to experience that, but everyone else is welcome.
Yeah. Well, I've corrected the typo. in real time. So thank you. Thank you, people who pointed that out. But yes, good evening, and thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for that, John Morton. But it's an interesting one that these reports do seem to come out at very, very critical times for the UK police. They seem to be these unlimited catalyst events for, well, what is considered like unlimited change remit to downgrade the internal evils of the British police. And as the thumbnail suggests, and as well I'll explain in the stream, there is kind of an inner and outer party. Really from the 1990s onwards, the UK police fractured into many different organizations, whereas the different police forces had their commissioners and generally would be concerned about crime in whatever county they were in. Post kind of the Met reforms, especially post the Stephen Lawrence stuff, we'll talk about, the police forces melded and then split into bureaucratic organizations that were run by different arms of government, and a lot of the time had nothing to do with the counties they were supposed to be
Well, yeah.
policing,
Think about
especially the Met.
well, I think maybe another way to frame what we're talking about this evening is we think of the measures of, say, for example, that you can't police in the community you were brought up in anymore, and this is seen as a sort of like anti-corruption measure. But we think, oh, well, they're standing against community. Well, what if any notion of community comes secondary to the fact that they want the Institute of Policing to be a more rigid institution? And that they think dissolving any notion of community or locality out of the role of policing might make it more effective in doing so.
It's supposed to be to stop kind of organized crime,
Oh, sorry, it's about
payola,
anti-corruption.
yeah, corrupt office. It's meant to stop kind of the classic mob film, doughy cop who sits in his car and takes a bribe from the wise guys all day. It's really kind of almost a bizarre media stereotyping of police, and that they've enacted this policy that is completely wrong-headed to solve a problem that can really be solved by not ha like. They've tried to get around the whole not having corrupt people thing by just making corruption st on paper slightly more logistically hard, even though it isn't.
No. But
It's
in the
very
same
silly.
sense, though, that means that those being policed in a community are not being policed by people they know.
Oh,
They're being
no.
policed by aliens to some extent.
Yeah, they're never being policed by members of their own community, as was specifically the case, as we talked about earlier today, about magistrates and constables pre-1900. Pre-1900, English law and English policing was the opposite of what it is now, to a large extent. But we've done a bit of a preamble, so let's kind of get into it, because the starting point here really is where we left off with our stream of Semyorgug. It is the Special Demonstration Squad. There's a Mail Online article here from 2014. All this was kind of re-drip fed to people because the existence of the Special Demonstration Squad was almost denied within the time
Well,
period.
that was one of the some of the reports I wanted to cover from last time was that they had put out details in the 2000 and it was either 2011 or 2014 report on it that directly contradict things that we know otherwise, like this little snippet about the fact that they were investigating the members of the Stephen Lawrence like justice campaigns. Now, on certain articles from the directly from the Home Office, they denied this being true, despite the fact that they will have it on record in their own files that that is true.
It also these investigations of the Stephen Lawrence campaigners were directly used as evidence, as we'll get to in the McPherson report, that the Met Police was institutionally racist, and that was the problem. It wasn't that the Home Office was running around
With its own little spy
yeah.
attaché. That pretended to be part of Metropolitan Police.
Well, it definitely was not the irony, really, and the kind of bald facedness of turning around and saying that the entire Met Police was institutionally racist and needed to undergo a lengthy race-based arbitration process, whilst the highest levels of wrongdoing that caught the public eye were done by a unit that had nothing to do in terms of organizational structure with the Met Police.
Yes.
That's That is one of the big kind of tightrope walk bait, whilst doing a bait and switch things that the UK that the Labour government, let's not forget, in 1999, by the time the report came out, it was the Labour government who had pulled this effective bait and switch with the special demonstration squad. But let's talk briefly as well. Is there anything you want to mention on that before we go forward?
No, there's nothing else I want to add.
I think the first point of discussion really is, this is from Parliament. I believe this is from 2013, because it's talking about the 20th
anniversary in 1993.
Yeah. It's really just a back-patting exercise. Well, that's difficult to tell you. I'll shift up that for now so people can actually see it. I might move that again later. Some live moving, because them websites didn't used to be as mobile-friendly. I tells you what. But this is from a kind of public facing report by Parliament about the McPherson report 20 years on. It talks about confidence in policing among BME communities. The McPherson report called for it to be a ministerial priority that all police services increase trust and confidence in policing among minority ethnic communities.
But I think, would it be worth mentioning as well that this is not like some sort of internal project that has come from the inner workings of any police force.
No.
This is a combination of lifelong members of the House of Lords and bureaucrats deciding to take it on as their pet project in the wake of Stephen Lawrence's murder, that, oh well, let's make sure that we start a make work scheme that's never going to end, so we can pressure the police into conforming to equality standards.
Yes. However, our inquiry shows that there is a significant problem with confidence in the police with black communities, particularly among young people. Adults from the black and mixed race ethnic backgrounds are less likely to have confidence in the police than adults from white or Asian backgrounds. And the confidence gap has widened over the last few years. It basically goes on to talk about the fact that even though we bent over backwards and made as much change as possible, it's what you talked about. It's very much an impossible arbitration process, because these communities will hate you if you police them too heavily. They will hate you if you police them too lightly.
We'll get into that a bit more with the more recent report. But yeah, just to some of the racist incidents and victims of crime. Stephen Lawrence, his family, and Stephen's friend Dwayne Brooks were all victims of a racist crime. The McPherson report was highly critical of the way they were treated and the failure of policing to monitor, understand, or investigate racist crimes properly. The recommendations brought about a transformation in the way police recognise racist incidents and deal with racist crimes, which is one of the most important legacies of the Stephen-Lawrence inquiry. We welcome the changes that were made and found a strong commitment from senior police officers to maintain that progress. Yeah, desk jockeys.
Yeah.
But they're already kind of setting it up there that it's about racist incidents, racist crimes. This is already set as a given.
Yes.
You know, the prerequisite of assuming the report has any value is the assumption that policing is by its own nature racist.
Well, there's an admission here that the report really was intended as a springboard for them to create all these new incidents of, you know, hate crime, hate incidents. It's where all this stuff really comes from. And it's...
Well, look at the... You know, we were talking about the ones that's from... racial hatred remains a significant problem in society. More than 75,000 race-related incidents were recorded by the police in England and Wales in 2019. 2020, this must be a paper.
It must be newer than, okay. It's 20 years after the report, not Stephen Lawrence's murder.
The line after. Going forward, we are concerned that the government and police forces are being left behind by the rise of online racism and racist crimes. Whilst we welcome the proposed online safety bill, we call for a new Home Office and NPCC strategy for policing hate crime online, including urgently needed skills, training, and digital infrastructure.
This is the why I partly wanted this in here, because it has...
That's that, Ofcom.
Yeah, it has that whole structure of not only Ofcom, but it directly mentions the online safety bill in the context of policing.
Mm.
And people were a bit confused when we talked about that, but the online safety bill is primarily a policing bill in many of its provisions. And it creates a whole amount of crime, as we will get to, that is associated with what are now relatively normal online interactions. The big one as well is recruitment and progression of DME officers and staff. This is where you're not being allowed to a police-run community comes from. In that they're, the McPherson reports and the Stephen Lawrence inquiry and the policy after that is what created all of these massive, and I mean massive, diversity hiring efforts within the police, to the point that in many police forces in Scotland, they are not allowed to recruit these white officers.
The second paragraph here.
Yeah.
The Peel principles that have underpinned British policing for nearly 200 years are based on the understanding that the police are the public and the public are the police. These principles apply to everyone. It cannot be the case that they apply to some communities and not others based on the colour of people's skin. Now, I don't remember anyone making that argument from the other side. So no. They've gone and decided to do it anyway. There is a strange thing that can be read into all of this. And I think it's the real tone that we are seeing here. It's a cynical one.
Yeah.
It is telling white police officers, do not police crimes in communities that you are not from because it's not worth your hassle and it's not worth our hassle.
Yes.
So what to do is put your hands up and say, I'm an anti-racist and let the crimes happen. We recommend that the government agrees minimum... Oh, sorry, no, I was going to go for the one above that, sorry.
Yeah.
We agree with the Home Secretary that the government's commitment to recruiting an additional 20,000 police officers must be used to make immediate and significant progress in tackling the persistent underrepresentation of BME communities within police forces, which means your white police officers are now are going to be however many years staggered older than the population.
Yeah.
You know, if there's these are 20,000 new BME prioritised officer positions, then how many of those are going to be given to white Brits?
Well, it's the whole thing in that a lot of them will age out, and that seems to be the big thing.
We found that some forces are making significant progress increasing BME recruits, notably Nottinghamshire and Greater Manchester, using positive actions such as targeted recruitment campaigns, youth engagement and outreach. I mean, I think I've mentioned this before, that when I came back from America from the Mises Institute and got off the plane in Manchester, not through the EU arrivals, but the international arrivals section.
Yeah.
The first thing you see is a massive 40-foot poster with a sub-Saharan African guy and a short Asian woman with a hijab on.
Yeah, it says, join the police.
Join the police. You know, we need you.
Well, it's very clear that from this, the outer police force cannot be made up of native Britons. In fact, it must not be made up of native Britons as much as possible. We recommend that the government agrees minimum targets for recruitment of BME officers with East and South reflecting the respective composition of its local population. The way that they pull that trick is they if it's higher than the national average, they make it up. And if it's lower than the national average, they say, well, your rural area might be 99% white, but the police in your rural area must reflect the makeup of the diversity of the UK.
I've just sort of spotted something here in that this first paragraph that sort of stands out a little bit to me. Achieving the representative workforce that the McPherson recommended requires effective retention and progression of BME officers as well as recruitment. However, we found that there was clear racial disparity in the number of officers being dismissed from police forces and in the number of BME officers and staff being subjected to internal disciplinary processes. So the number of officers that are put out of their positions are disproportionately brown and are disproportionately under the auspices of, or sorry, under the tent or the pressure of less disciplinary procedures, which means they are worse at being police officers and they commit worse misconduct.
Yes.
They are a concentration of misconduct, at least according to what that's telling me there. BME officers are more than twice as likely to be dismissed as white officers, yet data on racial disparity in police misconduct has been inconsistent and incomplete to the point where it cannot be understood or acted upon.
Oh, they're just...
That's them admitting there's a problem with brown people and that the problem is that white people are pointing it out.
The big thing here, and what I love about this, is they're basically saying that we need to recruit these people coddle these people, and we cannot dis. This will come into play a bit later. We cannot discipline or fire these people when they have large amounts of misconduct associated with them.
Yeah. Shall we keep moving on, or is there anything more you want from this you want to cover?
Oh no, it's just use of police technology and tools.
Facial recognition. They do.
Yeah, they talk about live facial recognition and coronavirus restrictions, similar kinds of questions about avoiding racial disparities. They basically say that everyone must suffer.
Oh god, they mentioned the George Floyd stuff and everything. Since the murder of George Floyd, actually, like the international lie told all at once.
Yes. It's just all that stuff.
We believe that the concept of institutional racism set up with the McPherson Report remains important today, and that the institutions must be able to challenge themselves and be held publicly to account for addressing racism within structures or policies, as well as within individual attitudes. Recommend that the ECHR undertakes work to determine a framework against which individual institutions, including police forces, can be rigorously assessed. So struggle sessions.
Essentially, well, this is good because it lays out the fact that the McPherson Report is like the year zero for British policing.
Mm.
The murder of Stephen Lawrence and then the targeting of basically his family by the Special Demonstration Squad is like the UK police's Holocaust. It is the myth that UK policing is now based on wholly, as you can see with this. Delivering accountability, conclusions. Across the country, police forces work hard each day, blah, 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 blah. Police officers and staff work immensely. To tackle racist hate crimes and support community cohesion. They don't talk about safety.
But it is because the role of the police in communities is so important that the issues raised in the report need to be addressed. But I thought it was agreed upon practice for the last two decades that policing in the community is a non-question, is a non-starter.
They talk out of both sides of their mouths here. Delivering accountability. It basically just calls for a National Policing Board Race Equity Steering Group. Race Equality.
There's a lovely paradox in the last one at the bottom. This time, government and police forces need to work with local communities to ensure there is real and sustainable change that improves the experience of and the outcomes for Black and minority ethnic communities, whether within the police service or outside of it. That raises confidence and demonstrates fairness in policing for all. So by treating Blacks like Blacks and not whites, you're demonstrating how fair you're policing them. Is that what I'm being told there?
Yeah, it's basically very, very naked in the fact that these people, one, aren't fit to be in the police, but two, we don't care anyway, because the structure of the police cannot be native Britain, because they will not do what is required.
Nor can it treat every people it wants to police as if they were, you know, natives and or understood, you know, basic aspects of ethics.
This is what I was talking about earlier, in that this framework, the police kind of equity framework, disbelieves in many of the myths of liberalism.
Mm.
Between the lines in this is basically them saying brown people are inferior.
Mm.
That is what all this says in a very roundabout way. It's saying we cannot treat these people equally. We cannot give them equality of opportunity because they don't choose to join the police. When they do join the police, they act criminally.
Yeah.
And it really is a dim kind of view from the other direction of the myths of liberalism. Like the progressive, in quotes, worldview is based on the assumption of racial realism.
Could we maybe then, in some sort of sense, look on a lot of this and all these anti-racist frameworks as being how the technocrats come to terms with like racial inequalities?
I'd say so, yes.
There's probably a lot more to think on that line, but we'll not take that one too far.
I'm trying to re-kajigger our window here. I'll leave it there for now, just because we have got quite a lot of older sources, but I always find it annoying the lack of actual real estate that many websites take up these days, but that's kind of by the by. Tell you what, I'd like to have my PDF zoomed in a bit more. So this is just the Stephen Lawrence inquiry. Report of an inquiry by Sir William McPherson of Cluny. Advised by Tim, this is basically became the Bible of kind of police racial struggle session. I do not believe
Are you going to have a look for a special demonstration?
I do. I searched for it earlier. And I do not believe it has special demonstration squads in here. There we go. There is no results for special demonstration squad. The McPherson report in its entirety.
Can we go maybe to the bit where they talk about Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence and Stephen? Because I would presume that's about the family. If it's going to take us ages to get there, then fair enough. But
no. I can
wonder whether or not they mention the surveillance that was put on them in there at all.
They do mention it in here.
My God, look at the weird, like the therapeutic aspect of this here. We are dealing with crime.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, or at least crime in a sort of report here that you think would be factual in a way that would matter, but no. Neville Lawrence came to England in 1960 from Jamaica. Doreen Lawrence came to England from Jamaica in 1962. They met in South London in 1970 and they were married at Lewisham in 1972. Stephen was born on 13th September 1974. At that time, I mean, fair enough, I expect them to have details and stuff in here, but it seems very strange that, like, oh, they came from here at this period and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I find that bizarre to me, but basically, it's a very long report, but what it does is the upshot of the McPherson report.
Mr. Racist,
yes. I believe this has the word racist in it 302 times.
How many times have you got equality?
11 times. Commission for Racial Equality.
That's actually kind of surprising.
Well, this is 1999.
Yes, I suppose.
There's a bit here, I believe, in the conclusions and recommendations. It's an exceptionally long report. It's a 389 page report that is full of a large amount of waffle. But it does have quite extensive recommendations for the UK Police Force. Rankin Police Complaints Authority. Part two of the inquiry, conclusion and summary, I believe the recommendation section has some interesting stuff, so I'll quickly take us down there if I can, if it'll let me, because there's a lot of...
Yeah, and you keep going.
Yes. Stephen Lawrence inquiry, it's really badly formatted, I'm afraid. Give me a second. Ta-da. Go down here. To the inquiry. No, that's just not giving me what I want, unfortunately. It's quite hard to navigate because it's not very well...
Go on, one at a time. Yeah, there we go. Just go from this section here because then they've at least got some of them summarised in the latter report. Yeah, community concerns and things like that.
I'm trying to find the actual recommendations. There we go. We recommend openness, accountability, and restoration of confidence. The adequacy of provision and training of family and witness victim liaison officers. Basically, it goes into a lot of quite boilerplate stuff. Levels of recruitment, retention, progression of minority ethnic recruits. Levels of complaint of race behavior or attitude and their outcomes.
The overall aim being the elimination of racist prejudice and disadvantage and the demonstration of fairness in all aspects of... Demonstration of fairness in all aspects of policing. There's that line again.
Well, that's the line I was looking for, sorry. The elimination of racist prejudice and the disadvantage and demonstration of fairness in all aspects. It's a impossible goal to achieve what they are looking for there.
Well, look at what they're asking for as well in point five. That principles and standards similar to those of the Office for Standards and Education, Ofsted, be applied to inspections of police services in order to improve standards of achievement and quality of policing. So they want their own Ofcom.
Yeah, basically.
Which you would think that would be the Home Office's job.
But... Well, that's what became the independent complaints, like basically IPCC came out of this too. The Home Secretary and Police Authority should seek to ensure that membership police authorities reflect so far as possible the cultural and ethnic mix of the communities which those authorities serve. So it means that the police forces necessarily have to fire a large amount of experienced officers as the demographics of Britain change. It became a massive lever for the complete destruction, really, of the ground level police forces in Britain. They were, to a great extent, dismantled by their report and its recommendations. I don't want to get too much into the weeds of the McPherson report itself. I'll quickly try and get us to. That's not working. I'll quickly try and get us on to a little bit of the kind of the contemporary stuff here, because it is again quite interesting how the BBC reported on that.
I do like the slightly the dated stories in the sidebar. No yes. Rush to war, says Blair. 10,000 chased for congestion charges.
Yep. Beckham forgives Ferguson. Yeah.
Waiter jailed for underage sex.
Britain's baffled over euro rates. God, yeah, no rush to war, says Blair. This must be about God. That's an Iraq story. It must have been captured in about 2003 then, because those are 2003 stories. But anyway, yeah. This is about the McPherson report. This is Jack Straw's full response. I don't think there's anything we've missed in the document from your notes, is there?
No, we don't isn't. Get there till the later one anyway.
The Home Secretary, Jack Straw, has published an action plan in response to recommendations proposed by the McPherson report. The centrepiece of this plan was his commitment to extending the Race Relations Act to the whole of the public sector, including the police. But Jack Straw expressed reservations about some of the reforms proposed in the inquiry. Areas of concerns included proposals to introduce school-by-school league tables of racial incidents, scrapping the double jeopardy rule, which means a defendant can be tried twice for the same crime, and making illegal racist remarks in private. Because, yeah, the McPherson report basically said that police officers can be prosecuted, I believe, which is the case, actually, for making racist remarks in private.
Yep.
Which I did basically end up in law eventually.
Yeah, Mr. Straw announced he's to take personal responsibility for oversight of the programme. And here we are 20-odd years later. Where's Jack Straw these days?
Yeah, he will also chair a steering group to oversee the implementation of 70 recommendations.
Steering group, isn't that what we used to... I suppose that's what we used to call nudge units.
Yeah, the group will include groups. The Commission for Racial Equality and the Black Police Association. Something I want to point out as well, that these additions to the Race Relations Act eventually led to the 2010 Equality Act,
yes,
which is one of the most prescriptive and restrictive pieces of British law and makes it effectively impossible to be publicly right-wing in Britain.
It's essentially our version of the Civil Rights Act. We just had it in so many sort of loose and unformalized fashions that we got to 2010, the Conservative government decided in all their wisdom to make one for us.
Yeah, the Equality Act as well is completely incompatible with some of the stuff we talked about in terms of like the treatment of the BNP.
Mm.
And essentially turning it into a banned organization if you are a public employee. That's supposed to run completely counter to what the Equality Act says, but that's a very good example of sovereign exception there. But it's we can see here the roots of the fact that in terms of being the ones who implement this, they've got this report. It's taken 6 years to come out. It basically says that the UK police needs to be smashed and started from scratch in a race relations sense. And Jack Straw and the Blair government are the ones who are able to do this. Mm. They are handed a blank check by the McPherson report to destroy, effectively, the British police and remake it in their image.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is what happens. That is how we get to the forms of policing we see today. That is the backdrop.
Let's look at some of the proposals and recommendations they've got here. Was this the full list of 70 they've got?
I'm not sure. Government to establish a ministerial priority for all police services to increase trust and confidence with ethnic minorities. Again, direct ministerial control and political interference from politicians. Of course that's accepted. It empowers the Home Secretary. New performance indicates for police responses to racist incidents with the overall aim and the elimination of racist prejudice and disadvantage. Again, impossible utopian point. Accepted by the government. For the coming year, the government will use indicators already accepted. It basically means there's a constant struggle session that goes on in police forces about these hate incidents. That's where this all really comes from. And that's where all of this recording, why it has to happen. Because Stephen Lawrence died, therefore you are a racist. HMIC to inspect the Metropolitan Police. Ofsted, again, you end up with the IPCC and things like that. Much more to be formed with powers to appoint senior officers. Again, that the Metropolitan Police Authority is made up of like non-police officers.
Yeah.
And it allows them to control who is and isn't senior in the police. Home Secretary to ensure that authorities represent an area's cultural and ethnic mix, as we talked about, accepted. Basically, all of these were accepted. By Tories of policing. There's very little that wasn't accepted in the McPherson report.
But it's, you know, as we covered with some of the Ofcom stuff as well, the side thing here is look how many extra organizations or new sort of attaché groups or this, that, the next thing they've thought up to make this all go through. You know, how many people has implementing the goals from the Stephen Lawrence inquiry to the Met Police and wider police employed?
A lot. Again, that's where all of the diversity, the officer, blah, blah, blah stuff comes from. It all comes from the McPherson report. It's not the police being, in quotes, woke. It's about an arbitration process undertook by the Blair government to bring police further in line with the whims of the regime. Stephen Lawrence was incidental to this. This is not an earnest effort to, in quotes, eliminate racism. It is an effort to reform and completely reshape the police by the Tony Blair government at the time. This report could have very easily been buried. It had been so long that people had mostly forgotten about it. And it turned, really, the Stephen Lawrence from an ugly incident in the press in the past into an ever-present force within how policing is talked about in Britain. To this day, really.
Shall we move on?
Yeah. I just wanted to go over some of the contemporary coverage because it's actually really hard to find.
No, I can imagine.
We'll finally get on to essentially the McPherson report to Casey Boogaloo. Because March 21st, 2023, the day after, I believe, we streamed with Semi Ogog.
Yes, this went out. This article would have went out Tuesday at 1 minute past 12.
Yeah.
About 2 and a bit hours, or sorry, 3 and a bit hours after we finished streaming.
Well, again, the Casey report comes out after the inciting incident of the Casey report was the murder of Sarah Everard by a police officer.
Yes.
Sarah Everard is basically just like a Joe Cox figure for dismantling the police. It's, again, another kind of inciting incident of le tragic crime, feel something, look at news story that is used as a lever to break open kind of the last vestiges of police independence and the police's possibly a rival power
center. Well, think as well that what we watched or what we saw in the news and the run up to this report, it was all about what was her face that went and disappeared for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he found her in the canal that they were expecting to find her in when they bothered to look.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what her name is now.
Basically, it was a plucked from obscurity missing person story.
But then that became a 3 or 4 week news cycle about police incompetence.
Yes.
Which, you know, seems to be a perfect signal for something like this, especially when there was always the angle in there, but oh, well, she's a woman, they went missing, you know, at the end of the night. But she also might have been an alcoholic. So there's so many angles there to talk about the struggles of women and whatnot.
Well, it's not only this time that the police is found institutionally racist, which seems to happen basically every year. It's that the Met Police has been found institutionally racist, misogynistic and homophobic.
Oh, all the ists.
Yeah, basically all the ists. The police have been found in violation of all of the regime protected categories. And it's quite important that they hit the high points of the Equality Act by doing this, because they'll be able to do the same thing with the Equality Act that they did with the Race Relations Act.
Yeah.
To bring it further into the implementation of policing.
The thing here in The Guardian, analysis, the fall of a British institution. I mean, I want to see what sort of profaning garbage they've put out as a sort of homage to it as a British institution? Are they going to pretend that it was less racist than it is now, or?
Well, the author of Landmark Report says Met can no longer presume that it has the permission of the people of London to police. It's just the McPherson report.
Well, it's because they're not the people of London, they're the people of Islamabad.
Well, it's just, it's amazing that they've just done this twice. Mm. Every time they want to arbitrate the police and smash it as a possible rival castle, they'll come in and do, you know, McPherson report. There'll be another one in 10 years' time that's exactly the same thing. That the police is not fit for purpose. They've implemented all of these diversity quotas. The police force is unrecognizable in its makeup, and yet this is what they're saying about it. Yeah, it's the report by Lewis Casey, commissioned by the Met, after one of its officers abducted Sarah Everard, taking her from a London street in March 2021, before he began murdering her. It's one of the most damning of a major British institution. Again, the 363-page, almost exactly the same length as the McPherson report as well, report detailed disturbing stories of sexual assaults, usually covered up or downplayed, with 12% of women in the Met saying they had been harassed or attacked at work, with one-third experiencing sex.
Lady Casey said that the lifeblood of British policing was hemorrhaging, and a report warned that public consent is broken, with just 50% of the public expressing confidence even before revelations about the force's worst... Do you know, see, when we were watching X-Files the other day,
yeah,
and Scully turns around to Mulder and says, what was it? It was some complete non sequitur. You look like you've lost your house keys.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to get back in. That's like that line there. Lifeblood of British policing was hemorrhaging, and a report warned that public consent is broken. Well, it's just nonsense.
As we'll see here, the biggest concerns about policing and the lack of faith in British police is due to the fact that large-scale property theft is no longer investigated.
Yeah. The Met has yet to free itself of institutional racism. Public consent is broken. The Met has become unanchored from the Peelian principle of policing by consent set out when it was established. Yes. Because half the population does not understand consent in that manner. They don't believe in it.
Again, it's just, it's McPherson report plus.
Casey revealed that one Muslim officer had bacon stuffed in his boots.
Patter is banned.
Yeah. I hope he had a pigskin thrown into his soup and all.
Minority ethnic officers were much more likely to be disciplined or leave again. It's the McPherson report, and Britain's biggest force remains disproportionately white in a capital that is increasingly diverse. That's not the police's fault.
You're
supposed to immigrate into the police as well. Stop and search, catalogue of suffering by women. Basically, it's updating the McPherson report for what is intersectionality in 2023.
Yes, I mean, if I'm right in saying, actually, in the report itself, I don't know if we want to go to that now, but I believe there is actually references to intersectional and intersectionality as terms.
Yes, there are. But one of the two people who hired him and thus can fire him made clear that he agreed with Casey's damning verdicts. Sadiq Khan. The number should immediately shoot up if
we should have put Khan in the thumbnail.
We should have put Khan in the... We'd have 1,000 views. No. The London mayor has not previously used the term institutional about prejudice in the force he oversees since coming to the office. He will be chairing a new oversight board for the Met, in effect placing it in a form of special measure for the foreseeable future. So there we go. There's the McPherson... the McPherson report to Casey Boogaloo has effectively put Sadiq Khan in charge of the Met.
The evidence is damning. Baroness Casey has found institutional racism, misogyny and homophobia, which I accept.
I'll be unflinching in my resolve to support and hold the new commissioner to account as he works to overhaul the force. So again, they got rid of a commissioner who was going to retire anyway, has fallen on their sword previously. I'm not going to go over that. That was all show. But basically they talk about the fact that it needs to be anti-racist, anti-misogynist and anti-homophobic. The report itself, there was a bit you wanted to pull out.
Yeah, we can scroll through some of the other bits first and then we'll get to the latter section because
let's look at the contents here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's very much framed in the same way, but for people with 95 IQ instead of 105.
Yeah, and it also just there's a lot of extreme cultural pan. Britain's dynamic, London's
Go on, now
dynamic
look at it. A
population.
new offer to women and children. What does that have to do with anything?
This is basically like it is the McPherson report with a big dollop.
Yeah. Why public consent matters. The Peelian principles.
What's it got a big dollop of? It's got a big dollop of
Oh!
New Britain. New Britain's back, and there's going to be a new policing deal in New Britain. Do you like your police officer? Do you know your local officer? Well, you can't because he's white and he's not anymore.
New Britain means new police.
New Britain with new police. Anyway, that's enough New Britain nonsense. Bonkers Britain, new police bobbies, bonkers black
Oh
bobbies
no,
on the
stop.
beat.
Boris Bonkers, Blighty Bobbies.
Black
No.
Blighty bobbies, Boris back in, and he's
Yeah.
got the bobbies. That black Boris bobbies on the Boris bus.
On the
Anyway,
Boris beat.
another Boris beat for the black bobbies, yes. Anyway, Met and Londoners. It's this whole thing of that, like London is
Londoners, we know what that's a euphemism.
a bait
The letter bugs.
absolute Londoners. The Londoners have been here.
Smell that? It smells like
Well,
Londoners.
there's a lot of red meat in here. There's a whole section as well on austerity and the fact that frontline officers, extra officers, not enough investment in anti-racism. They basically take the opposite view of previous reports on policing, which say that the police's reaction to the quote unquote austerity was to just pay
Yeah.
bureaucrats
I
and
mean,
give up on policing.
we could make a whole stream out of just reading this, and
Yeah.
there's probably some good stuff in it. There's one major thing I want to focus on just because I feel it's a little name drop for some stuff that we, through researching the Becoming a Minority framework. So if you
Yeah.
just look up one way with the thing in
Is it
between.
hyphened?
Yes.
There
Yeah.
we go.
Just scroll through till you get the right one. One more. Going, going. There we go. This is talking about their engagement in the community stuff, which is one of the sections I just skipped to when I was scrolling through it when it came out that day. But, we think of the Becoming a Minority framework
Yeah.
about how they are saying that essentially, everything in society, all the local community, all the institutions and the organizations, they all must come to terms with common culture that allows both the native population and their arrivals and those who are also in a permanent transitory state to all coexist as one in a sort of John Lennon like imagine fantasy. So they've got here, the consequence of one-way communication is that when the Met is forced to respond, it doesn't know how to do so properly. We heard and saw for ourselves examples of where the Met focused on a particular incident but seemed unable to respond to the context of a
Context.
situation. Responding in this way denies people's lived experience.
A lived experience
In
problem.
particular, we heard from a senior stakeholder in London that where there are concerns about the use of force which is judged to be excessive or without grounds, the Met's focus is on legality. And whether it was within the rule and regulations, there is often little recognition of how such incidents are felt and experienced in communities. And this to me is the point that sort of only really came home to me earlier on, which is the impossible ask.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you actually tackle crime in the areas where it is a problem, brown areas, or shall I say, where Londoners live,
Yes, the
then
Londoners.
you're a racist because you're locking up innocent minorities who didn't do nothing. And the only reason why you know that they did do something is because you're ignorant of the context. Of course, Somalis and Bantus or whatever go and behead each other in the street. That's just how they live. That's not crime.
Well, they
Of
fake.
course,
Yeah.
Muslim gang rape people. That's just how they live. That's how they punish the kafir. That's not crime.
Well, they mention here that there's the example of the Clapham Common Vigil following the murder of Sarah Everard,
But I was going to say
discussed in the introduction, was highlighted in the review several times. The policing of the vigil was undertaken without due regard to the context in which it was taking place. This is very much them doing the whole, you can protest during lockdown if we believe the context is correct.
That's why I think, one, there's a special meaning to context.
Yes.
But two, your options are, you police the community and you're a racist, or you don't police the community, it falls to shit and you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I made one a while ago, and maybe I'll repost it again at some point. It's like the trolley problem one, but yeah, there's no switch, and it just says you will be blamed. You know, if you do take
that's really good.
Yeah, if you do take on board the context, ignore how crime in brown areas is because that's just how that's how day is.
Yeah, that's how day is.
Then you're also a racist because you aren't policing brown areas, and Jamals will die either way. It's just. You know, it's a big ask that cannot be solved. And as you sort of make the point of, there is a lot of language in here about how the Met Police is this powerless institution and their hands are tied. This is, you know, perfect therapeutic sort of propaganda.
Yeah.
They pretend that the institution is powerless. We know it's not. We see what happens to protests that don't align with regime values. They get shut down and they get treated
well, that's,
with a harsh...
Well, that's because they're of their context. Mm. The whole thing in this report, with the context side of it. Let me have a quick look. Sorry, I'm trying to get back to the... trying to find it here. This has its own recommendations.
Yes.
Which I believe we should have a quick look at here. Conclusions on discrimination, Annex B. It doesn't have as the clear kind of body of recommendations, but it does have kind of its conclusion. We have identified institutional homophobia, misogyny and racism in the Met. This can be seen in overt discrimination, mistreatment and abuse of LGBT plus women and black, Asian and ethnic minority officers and staff, unfair outcomes for those groups, blah, 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 blah. It basically comes through and puts a wrecking ball in and says, look, we're going to need more struggle sessions. We're going to need a bigger diversity budget. Stephen Lawrence Inquiry, it references the McPherson report several times. And it comes back and just says, all of this stuff, all of this nightmare, it's going to get bigger. There was something, that you gave me a bit of a lead in there as well. Met police chief, it's crazy I can't sack toxic officers who broke the law. Mark Riley admits vetting procedures inadequate and says other bodies reinstated officers sacked by the source, sacked by the force. He's talking about brown people.
Mm-hmm.
It only hit me when I read the other stuff. He's talking about the fact that they've had to take on officers, and because of the recommendations from the McPherson report, they are not able to fire those officers. Oh, thank you for the £5, by the way. John Morton says, the thing about the Sarah Abrad murder is even before he was arrested, they wouldn't have punished it hard if he might have been BME. There's a lot of anecdotal reports that I cannot actually independently confirm from people that I know that this happens regularly with quote-unquote ethnic and minority officers in terms of their conduct towards female members of the public they have power over, and that is hushed up massively within the police. And I believe that is partially what this is trying. This is trying to whitewash that practice with the idea that the police is institutionally broken in like a racist sense.
Mm.
And then they can just sweep all of that away and say, well, because of the Casey report, we had to fire these toxic misogynist officers who all just happened to be brown.
Well, that's something I've seen before and sort of wasn't taking much notice of at the time, but these sort of Sky News stories that were put out and then very quickly scrubbed or not reposted about, you know, oh, such and such an officer from Met Police convicted for rape, proving the culture of misogyny. But then buried deep in the article was the fact that the officer in question is called Mohammed Mohammed.
Yeah. Yeah, the companions of officers, how the rogue officers were recruited. There were cases where they were warning signs and our vetting wasn't good enough. That's why we beefed that up. Again, I would be very surprised if this wasn't a majority minority group, in quotes, and that this is something that they tried to sweep under the rug with the McPherson report. Also, with the Casey report. The Casey report also is used, as I mentioned, the Sarah Everard vigil, to codify in policy the way that the Black Lives Matter protests were policed and the way the Sarah Everard vigil was, in quotes, supposed to be policed, in that it places an exception or cultural sensitivity within the regime framework for policing. And it means that, you know, sovereign is he who makes exception. Well, the police decide what is and isn't, quote unquote, you know, in context allowable in terms of public conduct. And we all know what that discretion will come down to. It basically means regime thing good, anti-regime thing bad. I'm not quite sure. Is there any other wider points you'd like to get to with the report itself?
Not really, because one of the things I think we want to hit home most hard, and it'll probably be how we finished the last 15-20 minutes here, is that all of this stuff, I mean, look, this poster here is like the perfect example about it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, like they've all got the LGBT face paint on, and there are all these cheery, scrawny folk who probably couldn't fight their way at a paper bag. That's all very well and true, but there is a reason why publicly we see this, and we do not see reports on the special demonstration squad. We do not hear about what the realities of the policing bill and the public order bill are, nor do we hear about the fact that they have already been backdoored in through ASBO orders. We do not hear about how, you know, other than the odd bit here and there from people like Big Brother Watch, who we've talked about already, and I recommend anyone to go back to if they haven't seen that. We don't hear about the full extent of what the online safety bill is going to be. So publicly, everyone on the, you know, kind of Con Inc. front, as we could refer to, or the GB News side of things, is, oh, well, the police are useless, they don't want to do anything, because they're all too busy running about being troons. But that's just not true.
I'd say the police, and I said it, that's the smashing and reforming of the police has not been weakened in terms of its powers, as we'll get into later in, you know, in a bit more kind of punchy detail. They have been empowered massively over recent years. The reason they are making the police look silly is because of the arbitration process. Mm. As we keep telling people, the ideology is not genuine. The police are not genuinely, in quotes, woke. It is part of the government coming in once again like they did during the Blair years and having increasing institutional influence on how the police operates. Yes.
I don't know if you want to get the slides up that we made or if you want to leave those to the end, but I think they just... they just reinforce the point. And I think
I'll get that up. You know, yeah. I'll do that now. Just because we've been through it all. Just, you know, I've put this over the silly pride stuff, but...
these images on their own, please go, like, and screenshot these. And
I'll be putting them out on Twitter and possibly in the community what I
want
post is, as well.
I want other people, anytime you see, you know, people engaging in this, haha, aren't the police lol cows, you know, be like, well, no, because... we know through all these different remits of laws and bills and this, that, and the next thing, that the British police state has done nothing but get more powerful since at least, you know, Blair's time.
It has only ever got bigger. The big thing that the McPherson report and the Casey report will
none of them ever say there's not too many police.
Yeah.
Or that there's too much policing going on.
Yes.
They're just wanting to reorientate the flow of where the policing goes to and what purposes it serves, at least in the public eye.
It doesn't matter how the police serves the public, in quotes. That is not the point. The point is how the police serves the regime and those in charge of it. And in the way that they operate, that has been enhanced massively. The police, if you are an elite, are doing a better job than they ever have done in servicing you. And part of that is the fact that they have gained exceptional levels of power even in the last 5 years, never mind the last 20 years. So despite all appearances, the police are more powerful than they've been at any point in UK history. We went over it in each individual stream for these bills, and we went over it in a sum-up stream, kind of our police. Just go through our channel and look for any of our kind of policing policy or policing bill videos. And you'll see us talk about these in detail. But again, juxtaposed with, ooh, Mr. Happy, ooh, happy LGBT silly shutter shades mascot. But the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Act of 2021 means the police are allowed to authorize criminal activity even by children against their parents in pursuit of an arrest. This can also be initiated by any senior civil servant who is employed by a government department.
Yep.
the Department of Work and Pensions, even the Environment Agency can tell.
But look at the gay egg. Look at the gay egg.
Yeah, look. Yeah, the Environment Agency could tell a child to like plant cocaine on their parents, and the person who did that, if they filled in the right form, would not be arrested. They would not be in violation of the law.
Even if there was no crime proved.
Yes.
Or no criminals arrested at the end of the procedure. The procedure has been, you know, allowed to just happen now.
Basically, any government agent can undertake a legal action in pursuit of any government goal and be exonerated for it. There is no legal there is no legal protection for you against state agents as per the human the covert human intelligence sources act.
And I don't want it to be mistaken as well. This is not us saying that the police are actually good and do a good job, and you know the people who say that the quality of it is declining are lying. Of course not. But that it doesn't all go one way. That we are publicly being shown something that isn't entirely the truth. Which is almost always the case, but it seems to me that people with a large amount of the stuff we've covered before, you know, and I said it was going to happen the day that report came out, is watch how many people cover this, but don't cover the other aspects that, one, this fails to ignore, or the general premise that we are building up a massive police state around us, but then we've got propaganda about the police being incompetent all at the same time.
It's very Sun Tzu, appear weak when you are strong. Again, here, the online safety bill will give the UK police unprecedented powers to surveil and arrest people for a wide range of currently normal online interactions, even as far back as 20...
Policing private conversations, as they did in the original McPherson report, one of the recommendations from
the 2020 report from Parliament there talks about, you know, the need to do more, the online safety bill basically being the new frontier in anti-racist policing. The police can go on the internet and essentially become the anti-racist police. But it will do a lot more than that. It will mean that if you run a tech platform and you don't play ball, you can and will be arrested.
Or you'll be due to pay sanctions from an organization like Ofcom.
Yes, it is. It is the integration of like Ofcom with the police, with the other security services, because the other stated part of the online safety bill is what became known as the Snoopers Charter, which is the fact that encryption is illegal, and the use of encryption is seen as evidence of a crime in the UK.
But look at the gay police.
Yeah, but look at the gay police. The policing bill and public order bill will codify in law that all protests in the UK must have de facto police permission, and all protesters are subject to arbitrary arrest.
And your face will be taken. It will be logged in some form of facial recognition camera.
Yes.
And then it will use that to sponge your details back off you via the internet.
A big thing is that if you are classed as a protester at a protest, that is now a very important legal distinction. And if something is declared a protest in the UK, which you basically have to do, you have to legally declare it and you have to legally seek permission for it in many cases, especially as we talked about, if it's a quote-unquote march, the police can actually just come and arrest you for attending that march, no matter what the march may be, no matter what the circumstances are. As soon as you're classed as a protester at a protest march, you effectively do not have any rights in the UK. And that's why we don't organise protests, because it is asking to be arrested. But look at the gay police. The critic's telling you, have they forgotten what they are for?
Yeah, let's see what the conclusion paragraph of this article is, because that'll be the tale. The essential function of the police is uphold the law. What is the average Briton meant to think if they see thefts and assaults going ignored and unpunished whilst the police monitor tweets? Suella Braverman has told the police to stop symbolic gestures, but without systematic change, that could be a symbolic gesture itself. Based Suella Braverman, the based Pakis are going to save us.
It's just the whole the recent inquiry of exposed case of internal violence and the sexual abuse of mostly what they basically talk about
but it's all right though. Look a little deeper and the plans lack any transparency. It's set to be scrutinised by a board headed by the barrister Ambimbola Johnson. It's Ambimbola Johnson. kind of name is that?
Yeah, the whole point of a lot of the response to this, though, was that, wow, aren't the police silly and woke? They're not working particularly well. The Met Police, as an outer organisation, from a individual point of view on the street, doesn't seem to function. But from an inner party perspective, and as I kind of showed in the thumbnail, we have the biggest and most integrated in terms of MI5 security forces at any point in British history now. There are quite literally at any point in Westminster thousands of police, armed police officers who are ready to like jump out of vans and stations in case there is some kind of terrorist attack against Parliament or against a train station or against any of these places. There is a large, permanent, armed presence in every town in Britain that they don't talk about. Because there was some discussion that we had about, oh, you know, special firearms squads and lack of response. And they don't exist outside of London and Manchester. But that's not actually true.
Mm.
They exist basically in every train station in Britain. What do you think that police stands for?
Should we finish on something I believe Binary Suffers just sent to us on Twitter?
There's another thing I quickly wanted to go through. There's the stuff that there's the kind of the big ask and the little rollback, and this really is how kind of the sausage gets made in terms of the police no longer being a policing organization in what we think of it. In the, you know, the traditional sense, but a police state enforcement bracket as it has become now.
Yes.
Because back in, and this is some of the only coverage I could find of it, which was local coverage from the Express and Star, saying that police to stop attending burglaries and other non-urgent crimes as part of radical shakeup. And this was conjoined with the kind of the rollout of the 101 non-urgent number. From this summer, calls to Staffordshire Police's 101 number will be diverted to a resolution centre at Henley Police Station in Stoke-on-Trent. Crimes will be dealt with by a call centre if a blue light response is not deemed necessary. The whole point is that burglaries, car thefts, and low-level public disorder are no longer considered urgent crimes. Therefore, they will no longer be attended by police. And that's one of the main reasons that people think, one, the police is collapsing, and two, that they need to give the police more power. It is a withdrawal of service, deliberately, from the public, from a police force that is, with all the special units that now make it up, per capita better resource than it ever has been because of all the anti-terrorism stuff.
Yes.
But what happened is that the police came back in 2022 and said, okay, we'll attend all at-home burglaries, which just means, if there's been a burglary and somebody could have been in the house, they will attend. They won't attend burglarized businesses, and they won't attend the burglarization of, I believe, properties that are registered as empty, that don't have registered occupants in them. But despite, you know, I close that one, despite withdrawing service for car theft, a whole swathe of different crimes, the police has come back and said, all right, we're fine, we'll compromise. And we'll attend at-home burglaries.
Which is basically them doing one-third of the job they did before.
Yeah, it's them doing a big rollback. It's a big ask and a small crumb is what it is. They've taken away a large amount of services and given you back a token service. And that's what's been happening. But
it's all okay, though, because Rishi Sunak's going to save us.
Well, yeah, this was Fox News, of all places, reporting this. But a lot of the red meat in terms of the police is back, guys, to accompany all of these policing bills. Because the trick is, they withdraw policing, they pass a bunch of policing bills, they give policing back, and they tell people that it is the result of all these new police powers.
Well, this also coincides perfectly with what Rishi Sunak was in the headlines with today, which is he's going to really engage in the grooming gangs in a way that he hadn't before. There's going to be a crackdown on it now that it's, you know, however many decades after the fact, and
again,
it's
a watered-down arbitration process in which the wound will be falsely healed. But yeah, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak plans to crack down on woke policing, pushing authorities to be fighting actual crime in people's neighbourhoods and not just policing bad jokes on Twitter. Sunak's government hopes to emulate the efforts of Stephen Watson, Chief of Greater Manchester Police, who successfully rehabilitated two police departments in recent years, according to Telegraph.
Oh, that'll be the police department that chapped our door 2 years ago and now come and give me into trouble for a tweet I'd sent.
Well, it's also the same police force that lost 80,000 incidents of crime.
Reports.
Yeah, in a single year. They lost 80,000. We estimate possibly as much as 20% of reported crime simply went missing because of a police like database error and police software being unfit for purpose. And that's the backdrop here, that the Greater Manchester Police, in terms of its, you know, frontline policing, is unfit for purpose. It does not operate. It cannot operate. It doesn't work for you and me.
Mm.
But it's okay, because the Stephen Watson said that the Greater Manchester Police can be less woke. So forget about all the structural issues from the outer service and all the power that the inner service has gained. And that's a big thing I want to try and impress on people here, is that what you are seeing here in the quote-unquote abandonment of woke, the withdrawal of services, the arbitration, the small female police officers, the pride stuff, that is one police force.
And that's our police. That's the police for the plebs. And it will basically be an anarcho-tyranny kind of thing, where, you know, the sort of crimes against the regime that we would never, without the context that they have put upon them, recognize as injustices, are where all the justice is supposedly being carried out. Meanwhile, genuine crimes happening against real people that we know to be objectively injustices are not treated as so.
Well, there's a whole shocking footage in August of Hampshire police arriving at a British Army veteran's home. As we keep, this is perfect example of the suffering is the point.
Oh, no, it's all right, though. British actor and leader of the British Reclaim Party, Lawrence Fox, showed a pride flag transitioning into a swastika. Fox said the post was a commentary on the authoritarian nature of the movement.
Again, they will do cartoonishly overstepped kind of enforcement against movements that they want you to think are genuine, and then they will performatively roll that back. Because what they are doing, again, is it's big ask, smaller take. It's false compromise. A lot of people cheering this do not understand how the sausage is getting made, do not understand the plethora of policing bills and, you know, quasi-policing bills that have been passed or are about to be passed in the UK that have effectively already created a security state most people would believe is fictional. That one of the most kind of consistent experiences we've had here on the stream, right from the first one, like the first Starman and the Boomer episode, was on the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Bill at the time. It's now an act. And people could not believe what they were hearing. But that is just UK law. And a huge amount of the tilting at rainbows we describe here. And now what is them doing what we said they would do for years? We were talking about this in 2020, is that they are putting the woke back in the... This is them doing it. This is them talking about it. This is them performatively pretending to make the police work again. Whereas from what we've described today and what we all know, the McPherson report and now the... what's she called? Clark report, is it? What's the report?
What, the...
The report we're talking about.
The Baroness Casey.
The Casey report, it's not Clark. Ah, I brain fart there. Yeah, and the Casey report is... I've completely lost my train of thought there. My brain's completely gone to mush. Yeah, the Casey report and the McPherson report are what the shape of British police will look like, no matter what they say about things being woke or things not being woke. It doesn't matter how they describe reality. The inner reality has a momentum
maybe,
of its own.
Maybe we can close it with this then.
Yeah.
That in this instance, both of those reports, like things like the Equality Act, like all these other aspects of quote-unquote woke policy, exist to make the institutions that have to apply to them as better defences of the regime.
Yes.
The whole thing that the regime wants out of this whole process of the woke dialectic is that from, you know, 1990-something to 2030, or wherever they finally decide to put all the woke stuff back in the bottle properly, is that in 2030, the institutions used to bolster the regime will be more robust.
Yes.
And those institutions that they feel aren't required will be burned up in the process. And whether or not policing as we understand it now will be fully sacrificed in that process, we have yet to find out. But what we can tell is that the subject matter itself and the wokeism is the side issue to how the organisation is structured,
yes,
what its remit is, and how it goes around achieving that.
Yes, and I would encourage you to research things like the Special Demonstration Squad. I'd encourage you to research the specific anti-terror police that are essentially sectioned off from the rest of the UK police to be special officers that do special things for special ministers, let's say, and how they interlink completely with organisations like MI5, that there is, as we talked about, an outer police force and an inner police force. And the outer police force is being made to be performatively silly, whilst the inner police force is bolstered massively in power, resources, and legal remit to a degree we have not seen in this country before. And we will only see, like we talked about with Ofcom and the Communications Act, we'll only see the outgrowth of that in decades' time.
Or at least in a few more years anyway. We'll have to wait for the reports on the progress of the application of the previous reports. But I think we shall be wrapping up now, I would presume. Thank the people for turning up to the stream, those that have supported us in any way, shape or form. And we will once again remind you that there are tickets available for our next Nomos event. They are available on the website at nomosevents.co.uk. I believe they are just under £40. You will get access to a full private venue for the evening. You will also get your dinner for free. There should be reasonably priced drinks and good speeches and good vibes and banter all round. So please do turn up. You will not be disappointed, as the many people who have come to our previous events could vouch for.
Yeah, this is our fourth event. We've had rather successful events the other three times. They've gone off rather well. I think they've all sold out in the end. The ones that didn't sell out.
We've sold out every event.
Yeah, I think we maybe were able to accommodate like one or two people on the door at each event.
Yes.
So they do get.
Do not be that person that is DMing either me or you on Discord or Telegram or Twitter a week out of the event going, "Oh, have you got any tickets left?" Because there won't be.
No, there will not. There definitely won't be for this one.
There are tickets on the site. Buy them while they're there, and buy them now to avoid your disappointment.
Yeah, and we will have a speaker announcement and interview on Wednesday, and we will have another one later in the month. One which you may know, but again, thank you guys very much for watching. And again, please do your own research into UK policing stuff, because there's so much of it, it's difficult for us to keep track of. Kind of with that in-depth reference stuff, I would be amazed if we hadn't missed some sizable things.
Well, we probably have, but yeah. That's why we are in this stream, not focusing on the details, but the framing. But anyway, good night.
Good night. Yeah, I thought that went rather well. I had a bit of a moment.